back on the podcast.
It is
5th of July. We are celebrating our freedom and our independence like real Americans should, with apple pie and hot dogs and beer. Copious amounts of beer.
We also bought sushi.
We did buy sushi, but don't hold that against us. Yep, we're back on the podcast with an episode of Leftovers, which is an agenda-free episode.
Adam.
Hi.
Hold on a second.
Well, can I introduce everybody?
Yeah,
and by everybody, I mean...
I just wanted to let everybody know what we did today, but yeah.
It's me, Adam. I'm your host, as usual, and to my right is my co-host, Evan.
It's me again.
And nobody else. Nobody else could make it. Corey was indisposed. He was... He celebrated a little too hard today.
He's naked in a pool
He's
somewhere.
He's naked in a pool, spinning around like an egg. So, yeah, go ahead. You can tell the audience.
Where did we go today?
We went to the hiking trail in Lynn.
Walked around the woods.
We did. We clocked about 5 miles in the woods today.
We saw some sights. All the green.
We did soak up some greens. We saw some lakes and some valleys and peaks.
I cleansed myself in the waters of
Lake Minnetonka.
Lake Minnetonka.
And then we went to our favorite craft brew store, the Pumple Moose.
In Salem, Massachusetts. Very historic.
A very historic town.
For a historic day. Yesterday. But it's a historic weekend.
Yeah. The 4th of July was canceled here in Boston. They canceled it. They said no. It's a no-go.
Rained out. Hasn't been rained out like this.
1983. It legit started raining close to midnight on July 3rd, and it went all day on July 4th.
Yep.
So we were stuck inside. We did a quick episode yesterday of our top 5 4th of July movies that you can find on popjunkmovies.com, and you can find it on Podomatic. Just type in Pop Junk Movies, and it'll be there.
So we went to the Pumple Moose.
Yes, and we indulged.
It's a store of wines and cheese and delicate chocolates and craft beer.
Yes, and trinkets.
And trinkets.
And
right.
Kitchen trinkets.
Chicken
trinkets.
Kitchen. Whoa.
This is getting weird.
Whoa. All right. Enough of that. So we went ahead and bought some different.
We're trying new stuff.
Yeah, we always. Whenever we go to the store, we always try to get something new. Yeah. Something we've never tried before. And on the show, we like to drink our beer during the show.
Mm hmm.
Sure, everybody knows that by now.
I've also been informed that on the free flow, the free for all episodes with no agenda, Evan gets drunk a lot quicker than usual.
I do get drunk a lot quicker.
So I'll say what I got real quick. I got a pint and 6 fluid ounces of Berkshire Brewing Company's River Ale, which is a dark American wheat ale. Which I am about halfway through, and it is goddamn delicious.
I gotta taste this.
You have a taste.
I gotta have a little
it's
pull.
It's really good. We do enjoy our craft beer on this show.
Oh,
on the weekends,
woo.
We do like to enjoy.
Oh, that's good.
A few adult beverages.
That's good.
And Evan, what did you get?
I bought 2 big heavies.
You did get 2 big heavies.
2 big heavies. One of them is from Southern Tier Brewing Company.
Which is one of my favorites.
One of my favorites.
Just want to say, anything Southern Tier I have tried, I have thoroughly enjoyed.
Fucking excellent. This one's called Unearthly. It is an Imperial India Pale Ale.
Oh my God.
And hold on to your hats. It's 9.5% alcohol by volume.
Evan is going to end this episode underneath the table.
So, yeah. I might be having a good night and then a sit down nice. And then the other big heavy that I bought is from BBC Brewers Series. I don't know if that's the company or what, but it's a black IPA.
And I'm going to have to indulge in some of that because I love me some dark beers, and black IPAs are delicious.
Fucking love IPA. If I had like a top 3, a top 5, black IPA would be in there as my favorite type of beer.
All right. Awesome. So like I said, we have no agenda. We're just gonna speak. We're gonna make words.
I jotted down some notes more than I usually do for episodes.
So. All right, and I have a special top 5 as I was looking at my DVD collection. If this were a video podcast, it would be us sitting around a glass table, perfect for cocaine use, which we don't do. We do not indulge in drugs. But if we did, it would be perfect for it. And then behind me is my massive DVD collection. It's pretty big.
It's a pretty big bookshelf.
Yeah. And
it almost hits the ceiling.
Almost. And
it's a high ceiling.
It's a very high ceiling here. I looked at that, and I noticed a couple DVDs, so I made a top five list. Top five, why do I own this DVD? Why?
That's a perfect one.
I may need Sage's help on some of these. Actually, I know I won't, because most of these are her fault. She didn't hear me. Good. Okay, so moving on. So I'm gonna hit you with that. Why don't we just start with that?
Yeah.
Let's just do it. Let's just jump
and
right
then,
in.
And then towards the end, we can just make it a wash.
Yeah, it'll be a wash. This may not even make air. I don't know. We're just doing this sort of out of boredom, because we do a show every Saturday night. This Saturday, we weren't going to do a show because we were going to indulge in some...
neither of us are working tomorrow.
Well, neither of us are working, so we can get a little sloppy.
I'm usually working
the next day. Usually working the next
day. But I'm not.
So here we go. Five, why do I own this DVD? And then you can help me out with that, Evan, on why do I own this? Number five is a movie called Jumper. Why do I own Jumper?
Why the fuck did you buy Jumper?
I don't think I did. This might have been a Sage purchase. Not a good movie.
No.
Borderline on a horrible movie.
Yep.
I have watched it. It's starring Hayden Christensen and Samuel Jackson, two actors from another crappy movie that I own, Attack of the Clones, Star Wars Episode II. This is a movie about a young man that can jump places. He can teleport.
He's got like Nightcrawler's powers.
Yeah. And it just sucks. It's just not a good movie. It's bad. It's not interesting. And I don't know why I own it. So that's my number five. Number four. Why do I own two copies of Michael Bay's Transformers?
Two, huh?
Two copies. Not one, but a two.
So if there's two, then one of you had to have bought.
I think I bought... Purchased it. I think I may have purchased the first one. I remember when we saw it in theater, we were like, oh, that was fun, I guess. Somehow I ended up with two. If you were to take both of those DVDs off of my bookshelf and step on them multiple times until they were just in pieces, you would evoke no reaction from me whatsoever. nothing. You'd get nothing out of me.
You'd probably just be happy that the clutter was
gone. I would hope you'd clean the mess up.
Yeah.
And that's it. So that's my number four. Number three is also two movies, but it's a it's two DVDs. I own Scary Movie 1 and 2.
Oof.
Scary Movie 1 and 2.
Oh, boy.
I think when a good friend, friend of the podcast, Ted Theodore Hayes, he was having a fire sale. But what I mean by that is he was just giving away his DVDs.
He used to do that a lot.
Yeah, he would just be like, yeah, I don't want these anymore.
He used to come in with a bag full of books and say, here, have these.
Yeah, and sometimes DVDs. So I think I just took Scary Movie 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Not good.
Nope.
Mm. You know the movie's bad when it's a satire on bad movies.
Yeah.
So that's what that is. Number two, back to a double copy. Why do I own two copies of Club Dread?
Why are there two of these?
I don't know. Maybe I had one and Sage had one and we merged collections.
Club Dread isn't horrible.
No, it's not good though.
It's
all right. If you take out the Bill Paxton character, who is he, Coconut Pete?
Yeah, Coconut Pete.
If you take him out of the movie, would you watch it?
Probably not. I wouldn't watch it.
These are the guys that brought you Super Troopers and I almost called it Beer Club. Beer Fest.
I feel like they touched the sun with
They touched the sun with Super Troopers. Beer Fest is good. Okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It's good.
No, I think it's just because we like beer, so it just kind of passes. But Club Dread, not a good movie. And my number one, why do I own this DVD? The Uwe Boll classic, House of the Motherfucking Dead.
Oh, why?
Why, oh, why, oh, why do I own House of the Dead? Now, you may ask yourself, well, it's just a crappy horror movie. But have you seen it? The worst fucking movie I've ever seen. It's in the conversation of this movie sucks and turn it off.
And it's unwatchable.
And it's unwatchable and it's not even like so bad.
Like it hurts to watch.
That it's good. I will say there's two reasons to own this movie. This is very juvenile of me. Erica Durance, she played Lois Lane on Smallville. You get to see her boobers.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, that's at least a plus.
You get to see her whoppers.
That's at least a, you know, maybe if it was like a dollar in the bin,
yeah, it's just worth it for that.
I'll pay a dollar to own this girl's boobs.
Yeah, and they're great, and they're top shelf. Oh, top shelf boobers.
I might have to check this out.
Yeah, no,
I haven't seen it.
So yeah, those are a bunch of movies that if you took them and brought them outside and threw them at the party across the street, I wouldn't really bother me none. Having a big party across the street, not celebrating independence, they're celebrating something else.
They're celebrating, yeah. I have no fucking idea what they're celebrating.
No. So, get those things out of my collection pronto.
I think you gotta have a fire sale.
I think I'm gonna have to have my own fire sale. I'll tell you, I used to be super proud of my DVD collection. I own a ton, a fuck ton of movies. That's a metric now, a fuck ton. And I was super into, like, collecting like all my favorite movies and buying DVDs and whatnot. You know, you go to Newbury Comics, you check out the $5 bin, and be like, yeah, this is worth $5. Tango and cash, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then streaming came along, and then I was super not into buying movies ever again, because if I want to watch a movie, it's available somewhere, iTunes, you know, Netflix, what have you. Not super into buying movies anymore. Oh, Ted Hayes might make a stop by. Oh, right.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, Fire Sale Hayes. So, just a quick commentary on, like, movies in general. It's a good time to be a movie fan because everything is literally available at your fingertips.
Yeah. You don't need to own movies anymore.
No, you really don't.
Unless it's, like, Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Like, you know, we would walk out of a movie in the theater and be like, oh, that's a buy. When it's coming out, that's a buy.
Yeah.
That has dwindled in its day. Like,
oh, yeah.
Of the movies that we've seen recently, like, we both talked about the fact that I think Winter Soldier, Captain America the Winter Soldier, would totally be a buy. Because it's like a big-time action film, but it's really, really good.
Buying that.
That's...
Plus, nowadays, see, the only real reason to own movies on DVD is if it's like a really big movie and you know there's going to be a lot of fucking extras.
Yeah. And then with Blu-ray and everything, like Blu-rays are sort of expensive, so it's kind of an investment. You think twice before buying. And I think really all I do now buy is Blu-rays because I have a decent Blu-ray collection. That was a look of satisfaction after that first taste.
I'm gonna cry.
He just unopened. He unearthed the unearthly southern tear, and I'm gonna go. I'll be right back.
That's something else, man.
Oh my god, that is good.
Holy shit! Wow.
That is a good beer. So that's my list. Do you have anything, Evan? Do you have anything bringing anything to the table today?
I got a couple of things.
All right.
I'll start with the bad, and I'll end with the good.
All right.
So, I saw the premiere, or the first episode pilot of The Leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
On HBO.
I'm touch and go on this one. I haven't indulged yet.
A lot of build up.
Uh-huh.
A lot of build up for the show. Yeah. Damon Lindelof.
Yeah, he's a thing.
Couple of actors in it, I guess.
Question mark. I don't know any of the actors
in this movie. There's one actor in it who I like. Him,
mm-hmm.
And he's been in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's in like a season of 24.
Sure.
I'll just show you a picture of him.
Right.
And he's the only good part of the show, other than the main character.
Right.
I think he's the main character, but...
We got a name.
Justin Theroux.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't ring a bell, but...
That's the main character. The guy I'm talking about, the other guy, he's in like 24, maybe. Okay. I have no idea.
Just random character actor
that you know if you
saw him? All right, cool.
He's in a bunch of shit.
So, the final... The final verdict, though, you seem wishy-washy.
I don't think I like the show. Right. Like, I at first I was like, oh, this is weird, I don't know what's going on. It's kind of like Lost, where they're like, it's strange and weird, and but it's just really heavy.
I heard it's really sort of kind of a downer.
It's kind of downer. They don't really give you a whole lot. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, you know there's some kind of sci-fi element in here, because the show's about... 2% of the population of the world has disappeared, and it's 3 years later. And, like, this strange cult has formed. They wear all white and smoke cigarettes, and they can't talk.
No.
And they don't explain why.
So they're not very informative.
No.
No, they're not bringing a lot to the table.
No. I mean, my theory is that maybe they're like the people that reappeared and they're like they've aged.
Well, there's
a, I don't fucking know.
We talked about this before off pod, and for every Sopranos and The Wire, you know, there's a John from Cincinnati, which was a show that sucked, that was gone in a season.
There's been
so for
many...
every True Detective and Game of Thrones, there's gonna be a Leftovers.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, not so much.
Yeah. There's been too many good HBO shows.
Exactly.
I think this is going to be one that kind of dies out.
And do you remember when Lost was sort of in its, you know, in its prime? They had a lot of those shows that wanted to be Lost so bad.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work. And they all came and went.
The other thing about this show is that it doesn't feel like a HBO show.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a constant orgy every 5 seconds.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And they're not really swearing through the whole show.
Okay.
It's not terribly gory at all.
All right.
This could easily have been a show on CBS.
Wow. Maybe.
Or
ABC. I guarantee you, if it was pitched around, they were probably hoping for, you know what I mean? Probably looking for like a network.
Yeah.
You know, like a you know, like your ABCs or your NBCs or whatnot, and maybe HBO just had a good feeling for it.
This is also another interesting point is this is another show that's based on a book.
Okay.
So for some reason HBO keeps trying to pick up these shows that are based on books because Game of Thrones was a huge hit.
Right.
But I don't know about this one. Damon Lindelof is involved. I think people are weary of Damon Lindelof.
Yeah, because he's just
after
Lost and not delivering and then never go. Like, what's funny about the backlash of Lost is, like, they've gone, like, both ways on it. I've read stuff where they were kind of, like, apologetic.
Yeah.
And other times where they're like, no,
they're
that was the end.
Defending it.
Yeah, and they're defending the ending. And it's just like, the ending, it was powerful at the end of Lost, but at the same time, it was so unfulfilling.
I mean, at the time, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I was in. And
as time has gone by,
at the end I felt very emotional about it, and then as time has gone by, I'm kind of like, wow, what a really good show, but like the culmination didn't really deliver.
Yeah, this is gonna sound super nerdy, and I don't care, but the thing about Lost is it was such a cultural phenomenon, and especially socially, like you talked about that with everybody.
Oh yeah.
So when it ended, it did get like a little, like a bit of like a visceral emotion out of me that it was like, oh, this thing that I've been following for 7 years
is over.
You know, it's done. So it was like, oh, that, you know, this is the end. And, you know, you took it. And then you kind of gave it like the buffer of like a year or two and you kind of revisited in your mind. And you were like, yeah, it wasn't enough.
No, it was not enough. And I think the overall, like... reason why it wasn't enough, because there was so much that didn't get explained.
I know.
Way too much. And my overall point about bringing in Lost while talking about Leftovers is that I think this is going to be the same thing. They're going to bring in all these weird shit that they're not going to explain. And
they want you to hang on, so it will get explained.
Yeah.
But...
and it won't.
Won't.
Also, like, you know, you're supposed to come in strong with your first episode.
Yeah, the pilot's supposed to hook you right away.
Like, give me something. Like, tell me, like, the fucking... Have an alien show up. I don't fucking know. Just give me something. Like, nothing fucking happens at the end of the episode. Like...
They just hope,
nothing
like,
happens.
Goodwill will keep you around.
Yeah, and, I was just thoroughly underwhelmed. And one last point I want to bring up is that there's a scene... in the middle of the episode where there's, like, a high school party,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, what older people, like, old people envision high school kids having a party today would be like. There's, like sex going on all the time, doing drugs, and they're playing Spin the Bottle. Who the fuck? I've never been to a party where they played Spin the Bottle. Have you?
I was, like, 11.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, usually the best parties... like, growing up, where, like, there were, like, a small group of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you see parties, like, in movies and stuff, and everyone's dancing. There was never dancing at a party.
No.
There was never dancing.
Unless people were hammered.
And it was embarrassing.
Yeah,
and there,
it was embarrassing.
You know, you were laughing at them.
Actually, there's been some dancing here.
There was dancing once or twice.
Yeah.
We may have actually had a dance off.
I think we did.
I think Admiral Akbar and George W. Bush actually once had a dance off at a party at my house.
I mean, every party I've ever been to in real life... has been, it's always loud music, everyone's hammered, and either
In little groups.
Everyone's in little groups in every room.
Yeah.
And maybe there's like small shit going on off to the side. That's it.
I may be in the kitchen throwing bread into the ceiling fan.
Yeah, someone's always throwing up.
Yeah.
Someone's always way too drunk and creepy.
Yeah.
And usually the night just kind of fizzles out.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And then it ends with me trying to find Willow.
Right. And then sometimes it's an awkward fight.
Sometimes it's an awkward argument and or fight.
That's what a real life party is.
Yeah.
I'm sick of watching shows or movies where like the every party is like this fucking orgy of drugs and alcohol. Anyways, The Leftovers. It did not open very big.
Yeah, the reviews have been mixed.
Very low ratings. Not a lot of people watched it.
What else you got?
So, I did a little rundown for Rotten Tomatoes. Transformers, 17%. The new Transformers movie.
God bless America.
17%. Not good. It's not a good movie.
No, and it made.
It's making a shitload.
And it made a fuck ton of money. So. Hey, what are you going to do?
22 Jump Street is at 85%.
I've heard it's good. I've heard it's just as good as the first one. That was a movie I thoroughly enjoyed.
I love the first one.
I really enjoyed the first one.
Really good.
22 Jump Street, in my mind, is one of those movies that, I mean, this opinion is whatever, but like if I had to go to the movies right now, I'd probably go see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Probably. Well,
Edge of Tomorrow is something we promised that we'd see and we
never did. Speaking of Edge of Tomorrow, it is at 90%.
So which is nothing to sneeze at. That is good.
Especially for a Tom Cruise movie. I mean, like...
Everybody I know that has seen that has said it's spectacular.
Oh, God, see it. How to Train Your Dragon 2 is at 92%.
Yeah, I mean, the dragons are adorable. They look like little kittens.
Like, I want to watch these movies. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah. Anything else?
Not on Netflix, I don't think.
Yeah.
A movie that I think people should check out. I've made it through half.
We love watching half a movie here on Pop Junk Movies.
I really want to watch the second half, but it's highly reviewed. Starring Chris Evans, Snowpiercer. It is, I think it's a Japanese movie.
Yeah, it's very limited release.
Yeah, but it has just made its way over here in the States. It is at 94%.
Wow.
And it's really good what I have seen.
We were talking earlier today about another movie that's in super limited release, The Rover.
Yeah.
I listened to a podcast this week about The Rover. I've heard it's interesting. It's
it sounds like a slow burn.
It's a super slow burn. I've heard Guy Pearce has like 40 lines.
Hey, I'll fucking watch a slow burn with Guy Pearce.
I mean, I wish I could remember the studio that put it out, but they're like basically responsible for putting out a lot of the indie releases lately, like a lot of the really good indie releases.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It's like a number and a letter. I don't know. We suck at giving information. But just wanted to talk a minute about Guy Pearce. I think we talked about him on our underappreciated actors.
I fucking love Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce, man, he's got such a strange career. Like, I feel like he could have had the Hugh Jackman career or like the Christian Bale career.
Like he deserves a fucking.
But I feel like he chose not to have it. You know what I mean? He's just the type of guy that like, oh, you want me to shave my eyebrows for this role? Yeah, totally. Well, like when he played the Charlie Rakes character in Lawless, which is not a good movie. But do you remember what he looked like in that movie?
I kind of liked Lawless.
It's not terrible. It's anchored by two really good performances. Maybe three. But do you remember what he looked like in that movie?
He looked fucking weird.
He looked fucking creepy. Because
he had no fucking eyebrows?
He had like this weird slick back, had no business. I mean, it takes place in like the early 1900s. It's like Prohibition and all that shit. And he's got no eyebrows.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, I feel like he just showed up on set that way and he just told the director, like, that's what this character looks like.
Yeah.
Deal with it. And how cool of a name is fucking Charlie Rakes?
He has such a wide range.
Amazing. And then, like, he was like, oh, Prometheus. Yeah, I'll totally sit in makeup for 40 hours to have six lines as fucking Waylon.
Yeah. It was a very pointless role.
It was super pointless. And then,
but he was good.
He was great. And then they did those, a couple things that didn't show up in the movie. They did, like, TED Talks with his character.
Yeah.
Young.
Yeah, they were like webisodes.
Yeah, which was interesting. What build-up for such a letdown of a movie?
I know.
Prometheus, like, I was so pumped for that movie. I had so much
stock in that movie.
Yeah, I did too. And then, again, with fucking, what's his face there? The guy who was writing The Leftovers, Damon Lindelof. He was responsible for that movie.
Yeah.
He was a writer. A lot of not explaining shit.
Yeah, things that happened that were not fucking explained.
Yeah.
Things that we were promised that we didn't fucking get, like the Xenomorphs.
I mean, well, we did, but we didn't. I don't know. But I just wanted to bring up Guy Pearce again. I think Rover's a movie that I'm going to wait for, like, video on demand.
Yeah, maybe we'll pop up in Glow Gaze.
That would be nice.
And I could see it popping up on Glow Gaze in the next couple weeks.
And me too. And I guess Pattinson puts in a pretty decent performance.
I'm interested to see Pattinson.
Well, here's the thing about Pattinson. Robert Pattinson, if you don't know, obviously, I'm sure everybody does. He's the Edward character in all the Twilight movies. But I feel like he's trying to etch out this career. Like, he's in two Cronenberg movies now.
Yep.
And he's in The Rover, which is like this super indie Australian movie. And, like, I feel like he's trying to, like, etch out a career that is so opposite of what he was doing with Twilight.
Well, the interesting thing about Robert Pattinson, which is kind of why I'm willing to give him a chance.
Okay.
He fucking hates the Twilight movies, and he hates his role in those movies.
Right.
So, and I, like you said, I think he's trying to distance himself from that, and he's trying to do movies.
Stay away from franchises and shit like that. He's probably made his money.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably just wants to etch out, like, a career as, like, an actual actor.
I think in the coming years, we'll see Robert Pattinson come out with some really good fucking movies. I think he's going to try and carve his way
into
some good fucking movies.
I would hope so. But
I could see him becoming, like another Brad Pitt.
Yeah. And what's funny, just staying on the whole Guy Pearce thing, two more things I want to bring up. That's the reason that I auditioned for Black Mass. He was playing the Billy Bulger part.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, oh my god, like, just to be on set with Guy Pearce, he's easily in my top five favorite actors. The guy's amazing. That's why I auditioned for that movie. And by the time I got the extra part, his part had already been recast for Benedict Cumberbatch, which in itself was really cool to meet him.
Still a great actor.
Yeah. But I remember, like, oh my god, if I could just be on set with Guy Pearce, that'd be amazing. Yeah,
fucking awesome.
But, and one more movie I wanted to talk about. It's something I want to revisit from very early on in the podcast. Probably about this time last year, actually, which was when we started the podcast. Actually, we should do some kind of a year celebration. It was August when we started it, so we're closing in on a year. You assigned me Lockout.
Yep.
Which is...
which I knew you would like.
Which is a movie that I just started calling Space Jail.
Yeah.
Guy Pearce in Space Jail.
Yep.
It's essentially Escape from New York in space.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, this, like, vigilante...
It's what the next Escape from New York should have been.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the president's daughter has been kidnapped, and the only one that can get him out is Guy Pearce.
Yeah, and he's got to, like, fight his way through a bunch of fucking inmates.
Yeah, and, like, he's essentially, like, Snake Plissken meets Han Solo. His name is Snow.
Yeah, he's every badass anti-hero.
Yeah, and the thing about Lockout is it's not a great movie. It's not...
I think it's on par with, like, Taken and like,
Dread. Yeah, it's one of those, maybe, like, mindless action movies, but he fucking totally makes that movie.
Yeah.
It's so watchable.
It's worth it just to
hang out with Guy Pearce for the night and just see him fight convicts in space.
I've watched that movie 2 or 3 times.
I watched it the one time you assigned it to me, and I was pleasantly surprised. I really went in. Like, even though it's Guy Pearce, I was really skeptical. I was like, well, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
Because it was a straight-to-DVD monstrosity.
Was it? No, it wasn't theater.
Was it?
Yeah.
I mean, it had to have been like a hard week or two.
Yeah. No, it wasn't theater, but not for very long.
Okay. So yeah, Guy Pearce. I mean,
amazing actor.
Yeah. Keep your eye on that young man.
Oh yeah. He's still young. He's still got a lot of fucking movies in him.
Anything else on the agenda?
Oh. Tammy.
Yeah, not good, I heard.
Not good. It's at 27%.
That is a bad number to have.
The highly... this movie is... there's a lot of fucking ads on TV for this movie. Deliver Us from Evil.
Okay.
There's a lot of commercials for this. The promotional people are spending a lot of money on this.
All right.
32%.
That's not good.
Not good.
They're hoping... Every summer... They kind of slip in, they kind of slide in a horror movie that cleans house. Last year was The Conjuring.
Yep.
that actually was really well reviewed, and
I heard it's good.
Sage, Conjuring, yay or nay? You watched it a couple times.
A little too religion heavy.
Too religion heavy.
Ultimately bullshit.
Ultimately bullshit.
Ultimately bullshit.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Okay, she
right.
was into it.
Right.
I heard The Conjuring's a good movie. It's now on HBO, question mark? Yes, getting a yes on the HBO. It's a movie I'll probably check out. I guarantee it's probably on HBO Go, so I should watch it. But every summer, they kind of slip in a horror movie that cleans up in the box office. People love horror movies.
The only thing drawing me to this movie is Bana.
Bana?
Bana. Is
Eric like, Bana?
Eric Bana. Oh, and it's based on like a true story. Oh,
they're
like,
all based on fucking true stories.
Fucking dismissive wanking.
Yeah, exactly.
But 32%, it's probably not good.
No, you know what's the horror movie that will clean up in the theaters this summer? Is The Purge Anarchy.
Is that going to theaters?
Yeah.
Okay.
A friend of the podcast starring Frank Grillo.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of want to see it.
Top billing.
He was in my favorite movie this summer. Oh, this year.
He was in...
He was in fucking Winter Soldier.
He was in Winter Soldier. He played... Well, they never called him Crossbones, but he was Crossbones. I mean, go down the list. I only remember a handful of movies he's in. He is a really fun part in The Gray, which is
he's one of the
favorite
best,
movie of this podcast.
Best characters of The Gray.
And he's in another movie.
He's in a movie.
He's made it, ladies and gentlemen.
But one last thing I want to touch on with Deliverance from Evil.
Yeah.
In the ads, now you say you haven't seen ads for this yet.
Not to my recollection, maybe I haven't ignored them.
In the ads, this has a horror movie...
Trope? Cliche?
No, it's turning into a cliche, I think. It's a new thing they do with horror movies.
Okay.
During the trailers or the ads or the TV spots,
mm-hmm.
where they show the audience in a
reacting.
Yeah, reacting.
Yeah.
I fucking hate this.
Yes.
I hate it so much. And any movie I see with a trailer that does this, I angrily avoid.
You instantly make brown.
I instantly make brown and poop all over it. I throw poop at the TV.
Because it was... don't do that. That's a good TV. Don't ruin it. For all the Paranormal Activity movies, they always show that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about Paranormal Activity. If Doors Closing is really going to fucking send you into a tizzy, go check out Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Because holy hell... When the thing slides across the floor like I saw in the trailer 100 times, I'm going to go running for that theater door because, holy hell, those movies suck.
Oh, fuck, man.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. When I see the crowd reacting on positively / negatively,
No
dice.
Yeah, they show the crowd reacting and they slip in like a... like a soundboard, but it's clearly like you've heard that noise
in
a lot of things, like movies or whatever. So that really pisses me off when I see it. So now let's do upcoming movies.
Upcoming movies.
I just jotted down a bunch of random movies that are coming out
currently on the way to the theater.
Right. So we got Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Which, let's make some words on this right now. As he puts the paper down, because he knows what's coming. We had this conversation last night. Rise of the Planet of the Apes is a movie I did not want to see. Big fan of the 70s Planet of the Apes movies. I like those old science fiction movies, whatnot. I reluctantly watched Rise of the Planet of the Apes. It has been documented well on this podcast that I hate James Franco. I think he's secretly a terrible person. I have had a dream that I punched him and he sued me. I had a dream that I punched James Franco and he took me to court and sued the pants off me.
I've grown to really hate him.
I do not like James Franco. So I sat down to watch this movie, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Fucking great movie. Fucking great movie.
Really? You really?
Great movie.
You really stand by this movie.
I do stand by Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I really enjoyed it. It was very compelling. It's really good, and it has one of those fuck you endings that, like, you're like, oh, you like this movie, and you like the happy ending, fuck you, it's over, and fucking everyone's dead.
Now
it's so good.
Now, I'm a pretty big fan of the originals.
Right.
The original Planet of the Apes movies. I really like the first two,
mm-hmm.
Which there, I think Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is also a remake. There was a Dawn of the Planet of the Apes original, where it was when the apes were... starting to become intelligent, which is, it's not a bad movie. It's pretty good. But for some reason, these ones, they just, like, everything, I haven't seen them, they haven't really tickled my fancy. I think I just gotta sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I think
I just have to watch it. So that's coming out. It's at 94% right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the thing about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the reviews that I have read have said if you like the first, they've, literally, the headline of this was, this is the Empire Strikes Back to, like, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. It's way better than the first one, which I was like, wow, I really like the first one. Jason Clarke, Gary Oldman, who's been in some hot water lately.
Yeah, he came out with a fucking crazy interview.
Yeah, he brought the fire. He brought the offensive firepower.
He had some shit to get out of his chest.
Yeah, he did.
Holy shit.
He is a cranky old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he hates some people.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Yeah, he thinks we should leave Mel Gibson alone. I didn't know I was on his ass.
Yeah.
But I guess I should leave him alone.
I didn't know they were fucking pals.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, he had some thoughts. I'm not going to get into it, but, I mean, he did an interview with Playboy, which, can we all stop doing interviews with Playboy?
Yeah.
Can we just not do that anymore?
Who fucking reads Playboy?
I don't know. Nobody.
Even still.
Yeah. They have this thing called pornography on the internet.
Yeah.
We don't need Playboy anymore.
I don't know a single person who's like, oh, I gotta go get my subscription to Playboy.
Gary Oldman, fire your publicist.
Yeah.
Or your PR people, whatever. Don't stop doing interviews with Playboy.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
So, yeah, he's got some thoughts. I'll look those up on the internet.
Yeah, you said Jason Clarke is in it?
Yes.
I like him.
He's a very good actor. He was in, he was the other brother, he was the other brother in Lawless besides Shia LaBeouf.
Yep.
Who's also got some shit going on.
He was really good in,
And he was really good in Zero Dark Thirty.
Yes.
Very good in Zero Dark Thirty.
Like Jason Clarke a lot.
Yeah.
And he is going to be in the new Terminator movie.
Yes.
As John Connor. Which is weird because he's like an older, not an older guy.
No, but he's like probably in his late 30s.
He's not a young guy.
No, he's like in his, late 30s.
So
early
that means
40s.
They're going to like the future with this movie? I don't know. I'm not getting into it.
Let's not go down that road.
I'm not getting into this fucking movie. Anyways, Lucy, which looks kind of interesting.
I'm out on it.
Yeah.
I'm already out on it.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
There's a Scarlett Johansson movie that I think is coming to video on demand or DVD, In Her Skin.
I know.
It's supposed to be a really weird sci-fi movie.
She's like an alien.
Yeah. It's supposed to be really good.
She fucks dudes.
Yeah.
Because she's an alien. Is that the movie?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Wait, didn't they make that movie already?
Species.
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 Species. Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, I want to see In Her Skin. I don't want to see Lucy. It just looks like a goofy action movie.
I will catch it on streaming.
Yes. Can I interrupt you for a second? I just need to put in some intro music. Ted Hayes, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for coming. You're welcome. I love you.
I love you too.
All right, so let's wrap up. Grab the left seat. We were just talking about Gary Oldman doing interviews with Playboy. Who the fuck still does interviews with Playboy?
Who reads Playboy?
Apparently a lot of people.
Gary Oldman does. All right. Getting back to the podcast.
All right.
We also have...
I will not edit any of that out.
Hercules with The Rock.
Oh, yeah. That looks like a movie that's about to happen.
Not interested.
No.
That. And directed by Brett Piece of Shit Ratner.
Fuck Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner is fucked with a lot of shit that I like. So fuck him.
Brett Ratner jerks off with Stillfish.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. He also banged
Olivia Munn.
And she's fucking grosser banging him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a gross
bitch. Out on her.
What a gross bitch. Anyways.
We're just talking about upcoming movies. Oh, wait. Real quick, Ted, did you see Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's awesome. Nobody's seen it but me, apparently. I want to see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I have no one to go with.
Movie that I know nothing about,
And
it is Philip Seymour Hoffman's last movie.
Aw.
Because he is currently deceased.
He might be back?
No. Well, he is deceased.
Yeah, okay.
He's no longer with us. It is a most wanted man. A most wanted man.
I thought it is a most wanted man was the name.
The movie is A Most Wanted Man.
Okay.
So,
is he the most wanted man?
I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So that's coming out. I have no nothing about it.
I want him back.
Ninja Turtles.
Can I say no to the Ninja Turtles movie? Have you seen it? They look terrible. They look awful.
Wait a minute, there's another one?
There's a new Ninja Turtles movie.
It's all CG, of course.
This is all brand new to me.
Yeah, well.
This sounds like a sham. there's no reason for a new one.
You've been hoodwinked. Shamboozled.
Make it animated. Got CGI.
Yeah.
Getting back, The Giver, which looks dumb.
What's The Giver?
The Giver is based on a book by, Sage, who's the author of The Giver?
The Giver. The Giver.
I've
read it. I don't remember the name.
It's J.K. No.
Not J.K. Rowling. No. That's Harry Potter people.
Yeah. Okay. So, never mind.
No. F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah. That's the author. So, The Giver's coming up.
You could be right.
Adam, have you seen the trailer for The Giver yet?
No.
It doesn't look good.
Okay.
It looks like a confusing piece of shit.
It was confusing to read.
Yeah. It was fucking boring as fuck. I took a nap. I took a nap in the sixth grade. Fury, which
Lois
we took.
Lois Lowry.
Thank you.
Mike Lowry from Bad Boys.
By Lois.
Screw that, it was Lowry. Fitzgerald.
Yeah, it was F. Scott Fitzgerald.
It's still F. Scott Fitzgerald. Oh, great. Google. Fury, which we already talked about, looks really good.
That's Brad Pitt in a tank, Ted. Do you really need me to say anything else besides Brad Pitt in a tank?
Brad Pitt shooting people in a tank. Interstellar. Still looks interesting.
Confusing.
Fucking confusing.
And I'm going to see that movie opening night with my dick out.
And you know who's in it, Adam? His own hero.
McConaughey. My fucking hero, McConaughey. He's his own hero.
He's his own fucking hero.
That fucking speech that he gave on Oscar night was bullshit, by the way.
That was the most, like...
Up his own ass.
Up his own ass. Yeah, like, narcissistic speech I've ever
But I still love him. He's still the fucking
still,
man.
Still, he's still a great fucking actor.
Yeah,
go
he
and
is.
Watch fucking True Detective, because he's great.
Yeah.
Sin City. Which I'm willing to give it a try. I kind of want to see it.
How do you think the original aged?
Not,
I remember we saw it in theaters and we liked it, but I don't think I'd watch it today.
Good theater experience.
Yeah.
Bad at home experience.
Yeah.
Experience. Mm. As an experience.
I know what you meant.
Okay.
We understand.
I'm out on that movie.
I'm interested in the stories. I'm interested in seeing Marv again.
Oh, fucking Mickey Rourke face?
Yeah. I'm interested in that. Mickey Rourke face. Mickey fucking fucked up Rourke
Mickey
face.
Fucking hamburger face.
Movie that I think you should watch the trailer for. It looks kind of cliche-ish, but it's called The Kingsman.
The Kingsman.
It's a Vertigo comic book,
okay.
Which it looks kind of good. Okay. It's about the modern-day knights in England.
I have seen this trailer.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer when I saw X-Men. Colin Firth.
Yes.
See a thing?
He's a thing.
Okay.
He's a guy. He's a guy. Right. And he's English.
Yeah.
But we won't hold it against him.
Yeah, and there's like these young up-and-coming...
It looks just like Wanted, but no. So we'll just have to see. All
right.
Expendables 3, which...
PG-13.
Well, fuck that
I know.
Shit.
Do we have to keep up the tradition of seeing those in the theater?
That's what I was going to ask you, because we saw...
I mean, like, if there's literally, like, nothing going on on that
Actually,
weekend...
Actually, we didn't see the first one in the theater.
Yeah, I fucking lied.
You're a liar.
You fucking...
Well, we saw the second one in the theater.
Yeah, we saw the second
and
one.
And we had a really good time.
Because Van Damme.
Well,
and the flea market.
It was just fun seeing on the theater.
Remember the flea market was outside?
Yeah.
It was gross.
Yeah.
It was gross people everywhere.
Didn't you like have to wait? That's why I went to the flea market.
Yeah, we were going to do some kind of 12, and there was a 12:30.
Yeah,
I fucked up. I don't know.
And finally,
mm-hmm.
I think the movie that I'm looking forward to the most, well, not the most, but only because it's coming out soon, is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, August 1.
August 1.
Yeah, it could
I
be.
I don't know. I just went with what you said.
It could be a shit show.
And it could be really fun.
Or it could be really fun.
I'm
leaning to fun?
I'm looking forward... Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to... what's his name?
Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt going to be a big actor.
Yeah, I agree.
He's a really good actor.
I think he's really good.
He was really great in Moneyball. He played Scott Hattie. Scott Hattieburg.
So, we got to talk about something off-pod.
Oh, my God.
It's about Moneyball. One of the...
I saw it. Yeah.
You saw
it. Okay, let's talk about it right now.
All
right. All right. My, all right. I love Moneyball. Moneyball is one of my favorite baseball movies.
It
I could
took
do a
you
top
a
five.
Lot to get me to watch Moneyball, and I really like
it. I assigned it to you, and you loved it.
I loved it, yeah.
Moneyball is a great movie. Ted, have you seen Moneyball? Moneyball is a great movie.
Really great.
My huge problem with Moneyball is that it tells the story of the 2002 Oakland A's. It's sort of inaccurate because they had an amazing starting pitching staff.
Yeah.
They had Barry Zito, Mark Mulder, Tim Hudson, two other guys that I can't remember off the top of my head. They were amazing. They only focus on a certain amount of players that, like, offensive players, like, they didn't talk about the starting pitching. One of the, they had never seen, one of the starting pitchers from that team had never seen the movie. So he watched and live tweeted the movie. And it was really funny, Ted's drawing a beer. Hold on, I'm going to stop talking. Oh, he is reacting well. Yeah, so he watched the movie and live tweeted it and, like, basically pointed out all the inaccuracies. But my favorite part was he was like, no, it was really good.
Yeah, at the end, he was like, wow. He was like, that was really good.
Yeah, like, minus, like, the stupid crap that they added. I mean, to make anything interesting from real life, you have to stretch the truth. I understand
that. One part that he said he got, like, he got, like, goosebumps
the
from...
The best part of the
which
movie.
Which is the best part of the movie.
It's they montage the winning streak that they go on in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
In that part, because they cut between real life footage and the filmed footage.
Yeah.
And that, like, it's maybe 10 minutes, and it's spectacular.
It's best part
captivating.
Of the movie. Yeah.
I fucking love Moneyball. Because, honestly, like... All right. World War Z is a movie that we say is good. What if Brad Pitt wasn't in it?
It wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't have been that great.
No.
He
wasn't, like... He wasn't really... He was just a character... Let me get my thoughts straight.
Right.
Brad Pitt's character in World War Z was the audience. He was just taking you through
these events. What I'm saying, though, is, like, if it wasn't him and it was another actor... I don't know. He just has, like, some kind of, like... He just, like, emits this weird charisma that, like, makes you interested in that character.
When given a good part.
And in Moneyball, like, he looks nothing like Billy Bean. He didn't really act like Billy Bean from what I've heard. But it's just something about Brad Pitt that, like, it's just kind of that larger-than-life thing that he has.
Kind of, like, made the movie.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm a huge fan of Moneyball. I was really happy reading that article. It was really interesting.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I like the stuff the guy just kind of, like his nonchalant way of, like, tweeting. He's like... I don't remember those pep talks.
Yeah, yeah. I never don't remember those Billy Bean pep talks.
He's like, I don't remember Gianni, like, pumping music.
Yeah, and the paying for sodas was bullshit.
Yeah, they never paid for sodas.
Yeah, that was a cool article. But yeah, no, I mean that's everything.
Guardians of the Galaxy, it could be really
that's
good.
How we segued into Moneyball.
Yeah,
Chris
yeah,
Pratt
yeah.
plays Scott Hatterberg.
Yeah.
It was like a big
Well,
part
well that's what I want to tell you is he said
he played
Chris
a great
Pratt.
Hattie.
Yeah,
yeah,
he played a great Hatterberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk
He didn't even know who he was, I think. He was just like, oh, this guy.
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
I just predict that Chris Pratt's going to be a big star.
Yeah,
He's been popping up here and there in movies. He's very funny on Parks and Rec. If Parks and Rec is a show that is on Netflix, and if you don't watch it, do yourself a favor and watch it. It's very funny.
And finally, like I said, I'm going to deliver on my promise. I said I was going to end big.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to end positive.
Okay.
I watched a fucking great documentary last night. I'm not going to give anything away, but I watched it's in theaters right now.
Yeah.
Whitey, The United States versus James J. Bulger. That's the name of the movie. That's the name of the documentary. It chronicles the trial from 2013. Of Whitey Bulger mm-hmm. when they captured him and they brought him
the
trial.
Filmmakers actually had direct contact with Whitey Bulger.
Yes,
which is super interesting.
The defense attorney was it's somebody else talking to Whitey Bulger and asking questions mm-hmm. about what happened and stuff. There's not a whole lot of information. They just asked him some questions about mm-hmm. stuff that happened during the trial. There's a lot of stuff about the witnesses and the victims that come forth and testify against Whitey Bulger. But I think at its core, what the movie is about is they dive really deep into whether or not Whitey Bulger was an FBI informant.
Yeah, and I watched a good portion of the documentary today, and What it does, and this might be an actual like compliment to the filmmakers. It sort of gave me the impression that maybe the FBI was full of shit and they were covering their ass saying he was an informant when they were just greasing wheels back and forth.
Right.
I think he might have just been giving the FBI... I mean, this is speculation. I'm not a fucking expert.
I agree with you, though.
But I think he was like, oh, here's some money. Make sure I don't go to jail. He wasn't a fucking... He didn't work for the FBI. This is just my opinion. He didn't work for the FBI. I think that he was helping them. They were helping him. Money exchange back and forth. But... like, he wasn't, like, an actual informant. No, but when the shit hit the fan, they were like, oh, he was working for us to make it so that they weren't, like, corrupt assholes.
Right, but they were.
But they totally were. They totally were. The whole FBI, from the fucking top to the bottom, they're all fucked.
Yeah.
Because the state police were at odds with the FBI because the FBI was completely fucking corrupt.
Right.
I mean, that's just, like,
and that's a movie. Knowledge. That's a movie on itself.
Exactly. Yeah. I really enjoyed everything that I watched today of that. It was really, really good.
Gotta finish it. Honestly, like, I thought this was gonna be a documentary about Whitey Bulger, just his life.
And it's not. No.
It goes in deep about everything that happened. It's mostly about the trial.
Yeah.
And it's I'm trying to find the right words. It's almost like the movie's a detective.
Yeah.
Like a private investigator.
Yeah, it's just seeking facts.
And they're giving you all this information, and they're not really saying he was an informant or he wasn't.
They let you, like, form your own opinion.
But the information that they give you...
One thing that I had read about this before I watched it was that people were upset that it was almost too pro-Whitey Bulger. And I kind of agree. I agree to the degree that they don't...
They make it...
It's not pro-Whitey, but it's not anti-Whitey.
It seems pro-Whitey because they make it seem like the FBI made Whitey Bulger.
That almost sounded racist. It's pro-Whitey.
Pro-Whitey. Go Whitey.
Go Whitey.
No.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your thought.
It seems like it's pro-Whitey. I don't think it's pro-Whitey at all. Because they kind of stress a lot that he's a horrible fucking person.
No, totally. He's a total scumbag. He's a
total fucking murdering piece of shit.
But don't lay off the FBI at all.
But the FBI, they do kind of say that the FBI made Whitey Bulger. He was able to do the things that he did.
They created because, that monster. Yes, exactly.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was trying to say. My rating for Whitey, the United States versus James J. Bulger, 4. Strong good. 4.
I didn't watch...
I would even give it a 4.5.
Okay. It looked I watched a good 45 minutes of it, and it looked super interesting. So...
I would say, like, maybe a half hour to 45 minutes in,
mm-hmm.
I started getting confused and uninterested. And then, because I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about, because I thought it was a different documentary. Because like I said...
Were you okay?
Well, no. I was like, I thought this was going to be a documentary about Whitey Bulger.
Yeah, and it digressed and into something else.
They started talking about the informant stuff, and I was like, huh? And then I started picking it up. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And like, this is a lot of stuff I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was a conspiracy... whether or not he was an FBI informant. I thought he was just an FBI informant.
The thing is, the entire defense when he went to trial was, did he murder people, did he do this, did he do that, was he a rat? That's like all his defense attorneys were really trying to stress.
Yeah,
he killed people, he's a horrible person, you know, gambling, extortion, all this shit. He was not an FBI informant. That was their whole case. And now people say that maybe it was more of a vanity thing because criminals... What's the worst thing you can be as a criminal? You could be a fucking rat.
Right. Yeah.
So there's people saying like that's why they were fighting that, and then you know the defense attorneys wanted to put the FBI on trial by saying that he was not a rat. So it's really interesting. It does let you form your own opinion.
Big points I would give this documentary with having interviews with Kevin Weeks.
Oh my god, super interesting.
He
was like the big muscle for Whitey Bulger. He was like, he did a lot of his hits.
Yeah, and they basically told him, you know, you're in a race with Stephen Fleming, the Rifleman. You're in a race right now. Either you're going to roll on him or he's going to roll on you.
Yes.
And basically Kevin Weeks, he rolled on it. He rolled on all of them. But super interesting to have Kevin Weeks telling his side of the story.
Yeah, they have, like, direct interviews with
him. Direct interviews with Kevin Weeks.
Played by Jesse Plemons. What the
but
fuck?
But you show me that picture. And
he looks just like him.
Yeah.
Jesse Plemons was Creepy Todd from Breaking Bad.
This documentary gets a lot of points for having actual phone calls with Whitey Bulger.
Yeah.
Interviews with people. Great characters like Bob Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Who was
played
a guy,
by Adam Scott in the Black Mask.
I feel
movie.
Like he's gonna be able to pull it off. I hope. But yeah, Bob Fitzgerald. Real quick, if I could touch on who he was. He was a guy that they brought in to find out why the fuck the state police was at odds with the FBI, and it was because the FBI, the state police,
hated the FBI
because they're all fucking
corrupt assholes. Yeah.
And he was trying to blow a lid off it. Great character. He's going to be great in Black Mass, I hope. I hope he's going to be great, because he's a great character in the documentary.
Right.
But huge points for this documentary. I'd even almost give it a 5, because of all the...
Just do it. Just give it a 5. Just do it.
It's a 5.
Yeah, 5, baby.
It's a fucking 5,
We got a 5.
5-star documentary. It is excellent. If you are near a theater that is playing this, go and see it. It's in theaters right now. I bought it for $8 on a fucking gamble.
Evan rolled those dice.
I rolled the dice.
He rolled
like,
them bones.
Sucker. It could be really fucking good. And it was really fucking good.
He took his $8 and threw it out the window.
It's on demand in theaters right now is the selection you would pick to find this. We're just... Really good.
Cool.
I might watch it again. But yeah, I fucking love this documentary.
Awesome. All right, let's roll out on that, because that was a very in-depth conversation on a documentary. This is Pop Junk Movies. We got drunk.
We got drunk, but we got hard.
Ted, we talked about boobers before you showed up.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No,
at all.
That's fine.
It's
sage approved.
You approve boobers?
All right, let's get out of here. Let's drink more beer.
Yeah,
all right, this was Pop Junk Movies Leftovers. We got weird. Goodbye.
We got weird, but I think we got.
I think we righted the ship in the end.
Yeah, I think we came out strong.
Yeah, I think we did too.
We started. We didn't know where we were going. We had no destination.
No, then Ted showed up.
I think we got to our destination. We were happy.
Hey, great. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you in the next one. Dancing.